Today's program was brought to you by Roth Wisconsin, makers of the world's best cheese and pioneers in the U.S. artisan cheese movement. For more information, visit rothcheese.com.
I'm Linda Palacio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Love Bites, coming at you live from Heritage Radio Network. Today is Monday, November 28th. I'm one of your hosts, Jacqueline Raposo. I write about people who make food. You can find my work and me at wordsfoodart.com. I'm 35, straight, and single.
And I'm your other host, Ben Rosenblatt.
I couldn't hear myself in my headphones for a second, so I thought I came in too soon.
I am an actor, writer, musician, bartender, and server. You can check me out at BenRosenblattActor.com. I am 34, straight, and in a relationship.
Today we continue our exploration of family love by exploring the sibling bond. And I am so excited and a little bit nervous because we have my younger sister Maggie in the studio here at Heritage Radio behind Roberta's Pizza. And my older sister Jessica is calling in a little bit. So we're going to change things up with the order of the show and have them on pretty much the whole time. But Ben.
Yes.
So listeners, a lot of changes are afoot. Next week is Ben's last show for a while. He's leaving me. Ah.
That's baby, so I'll be back. I'll be here in spirit, baby.
Yeah, he's going to be gone for so long. I don't even want to think about it right now. So we're going to think about it next week. And we're going to talk about it next week. And next week, we're going to be talking about some changes we're doing to the show a little bit now that Ben is in a relationship and now that I'm a little tired about talking about my relationship status. So I'm incorporating a new little game into the show where when we're not spending an entire, 15 minutes talking about our love lives, we are going to throw in a haiku game because haikus are short and sweet and lovely. And so I've asked Ben to write one haiku that just summarizes his life right now and one haiku that summarizes his love life right now. And I will share the same. And we cannot comment on them to each other. And we're not going to discuss them. We're just going to share for our listening audience what is going on in our life in two haikus. So, Ben, your overall general life haiku, please, sir.
Here it is.
One
sigh of relief. 2 weeks till I leave this coast. 3 cheers for acting.
Yay! I like that. Wow, I like that. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sort of annoyed by the rules that I set where we cannot discuss or comment. Okay, can you read it one more time, actually? Just read it one more time.
One sigh of relief, 2 weeks till I leave this coast, 3 cheers for acting.
Yours is so much more positive than mine. Okay.
Your life haiku.
Here's my life haiku. Oh, I messed up. I did 7... Wait, what did I do?
It's 575.
I know it is.
Just read it.
I did 755. Okay, listeners, I did these at like 1 in the morning when I couldn't sleep. And
there
like,
was supposed to be no discussion or no explanation.
Well, no, I'm just going to switch the order up. It's fine.
Okay.
No, I can totally just do this. They're haikus. You can just switch them. But I'm just looking at what I wrote. And I'm like, what was I doing? And I was like, oh, I should have been sleeping. I was drugged up and not asleep. Okay, so here we go. 1 foot at a time. Adding and abstaining now, I need a drink stat. That's basically my life.
When do you get that drink?
Friday at 7 o'clock.
Friday at 7 o'clock. That means next Monday here in the studio we could be drinking again.
Yes.
Yes.
It will not take me a lot. So, yes. So, all right. So now your loved one.
Okay. My relationship haiku. Thanks day together. Big hit with the family. Soon apart 3 months.
Oh, that brought me on a journey, that one.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm not supposed to comment. Okay.
My
dating.
Dating haiku.
Which, again, I have to flip the lines. Still seeking something. abundance and emptiness. What the fuck is happening? No, I did. I messed it. That was a dot, dot, dot on that.
The fuck is...
That was another seven. I did 757. I need to take less drugs before I go to sleep. I was so drunk. You know, like when you take Ambien and you stay awake, that's basically what happened last night.
Is there a name for a poem that is
the
a
opposite
757?
I don't know.
Because you wrote a beautiful one of those.
Thank you. That's what I did. I did 757, and I didn't even realize until I looked at what I wrote down that I did not write haikus. That's what happens when you take Ambien and stay awake. Moving on. My sister, Jessica, are you still there? Have you given up on me yet?
I'm here.
Yay, my sisters are here. So I'm gonna
Yay,
work on this whole haiku
wait to get
idea.
Some family gossip
I'm gonna
on
work
Jacqueline.
I'm gonna work on this whole idea. this whole haiku idea when I'm not drugged up on Ambien and still awake. So this is the fourth show of ours on family love. And before I introduce my sisters, I'm going to read a quote from science and technology writer Jeff Kluger. This was from a TED Radio Hour episode from a couple months ago that really stuck with me, which was sort of one of the reasons why we planned this series. So here's the quote. We were a unit, a loud, messy, brawling, loyal, loving, lasting unit. We felt much stronger that way than we ever could as individuals. And we knew that as our lives went on, we could always be able to call upon that strength. There may be no relationship that's closer, finer, harder, sweeter, happier, sadder, more filled with joy or fraught with woe than the relationship we have with our brothers and sisters. I love
Amen.
That quote. Amen. Amen to that, right? So, keeping that in mind, welcome to There Were Never Such Devoted Sisters, the title of our show today. So I would like to welcome my big sister Jessica and little sister Maggie onto the show with a formal introduction. Dr. Jessica Raposo is the coordinator of music for Indiana University East in Richmond, Indiana. She has earned music degrees from the University of Michigan, the Royal Academy of Music in London, and the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. She has taught at various colleges, conducted the flute choirs of the Stanford Young Artists Philharmonic Association, and has played as a flautist and piccoloist with the Vancouver Symphony, the Burnaby Symphony, and the Rome Festival Orchestra, as well as in chamber ensembles, and I really could go on. Let's just conclude that she's definitely the eldest sibling of our family and the most scholastically accomplished by far. 3 years later, there's me. Then there's our brother Dan, whom you met on episode 43 of The Bro Show. Then 8 years younger than Jess is our little sister Maggie. Maggie has a Bachelor's of Science degree in photography from the Savannah College of Art and Design and a massage therapy degree from the Connecticut Center for Massage Therapy. She's now a therapist and the manager at Cosmic Groove in Asheville, North Carolina, and the proprietress behind Mug Hug Crafts on Etsy. Welcome to Love Bites, Maggie and Jessica.
Yay, Raposo.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi, sisters. So I'm going to start off with something super light. Listeners, I asked my sisters to pick one movie that defines your relationship with each sister. So, Jessica, why don't we start with you? What movie defines your relationship with Maggie? Or which, if you could pick up one movie to watch with her for the rest of your life, what movie would that be? And then I want to see what she says about you.
With Maggie, it's super easy, but it's a whole set. It's the Harry Potter movies.
Maggie.
That's what I said, too.
Yeah, that's what Maggie said, too. Aww.
There's no question about that. We have been Harry Potter geeks since she pretty much made me start reading the books, which is around the time that book 4 came out.
Yep.
Yeah, and ever since, it's been a thing. Like, she literally gave me some Harry Potter swag last week while I was home.
And that, so. Aw, you guys are such cute nerds. I'm just kidding. There's things that, I missed out on. All right, Jessica, what was yours for me?
Okay, now that one was tricky.
I know, you were hard.
I was trying to think of, like, one particular movie. And, I mean, we've had definite things that we've connected about in different ways.
What's
like, literally
the movie,
last
Jess?
Week when we were, you were quoting Anne of Green Gables lines to me via text.
Yes.
I mean, that's one example of the many. But the movie I kept coming back to in my mind was
Ben is
Summer
laughing.
Magic.
I was going to say Summer Magic. I almost said Summer Magic.
Okay, which is this, Haley movie that from, the Disney machine of the 1960s, I think. And
I went
that was the one that kept coming back to mind.
I went opposite. I went White Christmas. I went opposite because of Sisters, because of singing the title of our show, because of singing that, because of there's something about old-timey musicals with you, Jess.
Well, definitely. Well, definitely because I'm just a music freak in our family.
Right.
But, you know, that's one I sort of associate with the entire family.
No, that's for me, that's you more than anything.
And with the event. So, because that was on the list. That was one of the ones I debated.
All right.
But, yeah.
Well, Maggie, we might have made Ben Sneaker look at our answers before the show. Maggie and I are in agreement.
It's the Grinch.
It's Jim Carrey's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You're a reindeer. Here's your motivation.
You're a freak with a red nose and nobody likes you.
Then Santa comes along and you save Christmas.
We're just going to do the movie for the rest of the show. That's the whole rest of the show.
We
is just going to be
could.
Them
we
doing
could. Ben
the
stop
movie,
us before we can't stop ourselves.
I have a question.
As you can imagine, it's thrilling to watch that movie with them.
Oh, yes. I feel like I don't have to. I've already just,
hello,
I just
hello,
watched it.
How are you?
How are you? How are you?
I have a question for all three of you.
Uh-oh.
I know that you're very close as sisters, as I'm lucky to be with my brother. I have a great friendship with my brother. And I'm wondering if you could share to me and to our listeners if there's a specific memory that you have with each other about where you're most thankful for your friendship with your siblings that makes your friendship a little bit different, an experience that is different in your friendship with your siblings than is different than with any other friend you might have.
Maggie, why don't you go first?
I think last summer when Dad had his stint in the hospital, I almost didn't come home because he told us not. It was like no big deal not to come home. And
so,
just,
listeners, our father had open heart surgery rather last minute, and he's fine. He's great.
Yes,
but, yeah,
he's doing very well. But
my sisters live far away, and my brother and I live close to our parents in proximity. So
yeah, and if I hadn't called Jess the day before his surgery, like kind of freaking out about it, I may not have decided to get in the car to come home, and that was a big thing for me.
And how is that different calling her than it would have been had you called, you know, a friend? Like, how is that sibling bond the defining factor there?
I had already talked to a bunch of my friends about it, and they were like, oh no, your dad said he'd be okay, don't worry about it.
And what did Jess do that made the difference?
Jess said, no, this is one of those times that you need to be home. Like, this is, you without a doubt get in the car and come home. And it kind of solidified what I was thinking in my head anyway.
And I'll just add to that, it wasn't like I was telling her she had to come home because we needed her help or anything like that. It was just that I recognized that she was going to torture herself the entire week if she wasn't there.
And I was. I was sick with worry. Like, I couldn't function at work or anything like that. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
She helped calm me down.
Jess, do you have a specific moment or anything about your relationships with your sisters that makes it unique to other friendships?
It relates to both my sisters and my brother, and I don't know if they're even aware of how important this was for me, because it was years ago. But, we're talking like 9 years ago or so. I had been in love and had a massive breakup with this guy, and 2 days later we left on a family vacation to Mexico. And there was a lot about the relationship that I'm very private, so I don't talk to everybody about my stuff. And even my siblings didn't know a ton about the relationship. But basically, you know, I was sitting next to Maggie on the plane, and I was sitting in the window seat. She'd let me take the window seat, and I was just sort of like staring at the closed window and crying pretty much the whole trip, and like the whole flight. And she would just check in every once in a while and be like, are you okay? And I would answer, no. And she would just hold my hand and be there quietly. And then that whole week, my siblings pretty much let me do what I needed to do and be as freaky and weird as I needed to be and get drunk as much as I needed to get drunk. And
can I ask what other weird and freaky things you were doing?
Oh, no. Just mean like, you know, randomly crying and stuff like that. I'm so
that's pretty normal.
I just want to put out there that when Jessica gets drunk, though, she is so much fun when she gets drunk. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, like, she's like the last one standing, and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But I mean, I probably drank more that week than I had in the previous year. And that was the year I graduated from my final degree. So, you know, that's a lot.
Well,
and, yeah. So.
That's amazing. Jacqueline, how about
and I
you?
Don't know if, and I don't know if I would have felt the freedom to do that with my friends.
Sure.
So, yeah.
There's definitely a familiarity and a comfort level when it comes to family that's just not there with anyone else. How about you, Jacqueline?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's definitely been, like, you know, in the bad breakup, my siblings, all of them, you know, get together and play games and get beer that I can drink and have fun. So there's definitely that. But there's also just that safety net of no matter how badly you fuck up, your family is there. Or just how badly something can happen. A couple years ago, we're going to talk about this on a future show, but a couple years ago, I got pregnant while on birth control and had to have an abortion, and it was a really horrible, horrible time in my life, but Maggie is the one that I called. And I didn't tell anybody else in my family for several years because of other circumstances surrounding the whole thing, but I knew that I could call my younger sister and that she would be there for me, and knowing my health history, that she would be able to show me the support of knowing with everything I've gone through with my body that she knew my whole history and would support me and love me. And then eventually when I told Jessica, her boundless love and support, despite the concerns that I had had around just the issues of talking about abortion, you know, it's there's a bottomless pit of love and support no matter what you can do that comes with my siblings. You know, that is not restricted by time or by human error or experience. That is really the safest thing that, you know, I can have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So thank you for sharing those stories. I'm feeling the warmth of the Raposo sisterhood in the room here. But now I want to maybe, you know, things might get a little divisive here because Jacqueline, you and I were both interested in the idea of like family roles and the roles that we play in our family. And so I'm interested in hearing from each of you what role you think your other siblings fulfill in your family unit.
Mm. Mm. So Jessica, why don't we start with you? So there's four of us. So if you think about like what roles do you, so not as far as what our parents have thought about us, but how do you define the roles of your three other siblings in our little quartet, Jess?
Oh, gosh.
I know. Maggie didn't like this question either when we briefed it before.
It's hard.
Yeah, it was really hard when thinking about this because I think those roles have shifted over the years.
Right.
Like, if you had asked me what Danny's role had been when we were little, it's like, he's the prince boy, you know. He's the special boy one in the family, and he's going to get away with all sorts of crap.
But he's not anymore.
But now, what's that?
He doesn't get away with anything anymore?
No, now I think he takes on more of a burden. Like, he takes on more responsibility and more of the inheritance aspect of, like, the family business, whereas when he was younger, he's the only boy with three girls, and so he gets, you know, away with a lot of shit being a boy.
Yep,
that the girls don't get to get away with.
Jess, what did you perceive Jacqueline's role was when you were younger?
Susie homemaker type thing. She was always content to be home, if that makes sense. And she was very good at tapping, and she's still good at this, you know, just tapping into the stuff that we do as a family, whether it's especially holidays and tradition and that sort of thing. She was also the one who was very useful because I wasn't able to do this. In breaking down the oldest sibling responsibility expectations, because our parents tried putting that on her after I went away to college, and she wasn't having any of it. And her being that way a lot sort of helped our parents recognize that, hey, we are just kids.
Wait, because you're saying this, and Maggie's nodding, and I have no idea what you guys are talking about. So...
Do you feel comfortable being a little more specific?
Yeah, could you tell me what you mean? Because I'm curious.
Sure.
What was I brilliantly doing without knowing it?
Probably how you guys would define me. But, you know, as the oldest, I was very much put in a second mother position. And that included, by the time I was a senior in high school, I was driving people around to their various music lessons and CCD classes and all sorts of things like that. Because our mom worked 4 days a week. And... So I remember at some point when it came to babysitting or driving or something like that, Mom pretty much, my understanding of it anyway, was Mom pretty much said to Jax at that point, yeah, you need to do this now. And you were just sort of like, no, I can't. I have other things to do with my time. And you got Dad's support behind you, and all of a sudden, it was a game changer. Like, all of a sudden, you know, Mom couldn't just dictate that a child was going to take care of the other children anymore. And that was something I struggled with. I know the first year I came back from college, that first summer, it was horrifying.
Wow, the things but, you don't know about summer. Yourself while you're doing them. Interesting.
Well, there you go.
Interesting.
Do either you, so, and I've heard like a little bit of all the roles, except I've not heard from anyone
Maggie?
About what Maggie's role in the family.
You do it, Jess. You say what Maggie's role was.
Maggie's role was the one to basically get away with everything I couldn't.
Maggie got away with everything.
I kind of did.
I mean, her role is the youngest child, right? And so she's going to have a very different living, you know, growing experience and that sort of thing. But that means that she also gets to, you know, there's a lot of stuff that her perspective for me is very different with that difference in 8 years, you know? And so I just love getting new views on stuff. Like, I feel like Jacqueline and I growing up, there was a lot of shared stuff growing up that Maggie and I didn't share at all. And so just sort of, what you know, exploring those differences now, it's just always very cool to look back on my memories differently, just hearing her perspective of it.
I just want to check in with both Maggie and Jacqueline here because thank you, Jess. That was awesome to hear you kind of break that down and get most of the agreement from both of them on kind of like what the roles are. Did either of you have any like discrepancy or any just like slightly alternative takes on any of it that are you feel are worth sharing before we get to a quick break?
Maggie, you go. You're the guest.
Not really. She actually said almost exactly what I had planned on saying.
Really?
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I had looked at just sort of the question a little bit differently when I had thought about like the roles in our family. But that's pretty. I mean, like mine, they fit along those similar lines. Like Jessica to me is like the matriarch and the trustworthy one that like, you know, will always handle and get things done. My brother now, our brother growing up, is the pragmatic one who just sort of handles like the family business responsibilities in certain ways. And Maggie, to me, I use this word as a positive thing, is like the sensitive emotional one in ways that like, you know, like I even referred to before when I think about sort of the, like this question to myself, I was like, when I die, who controls my stuff? You know, it's like Maggie goes through my journals. Jessica has to like, sorry, Jess, you have to like handles all like my shit, you know, like my websites and my money. And my brother, you know, has to handle, like, my funeral and taking care of my dog. It's just like those are how I look at my siblings as far as the responsibilities of my life they hold.
Oh, I want the dog.
I know. Everybody wants the dog. Mitra will be very well loved if I perish. But I feel like that sort of is a symbol of our relationship. So I feel like, I feel like that's pretty...
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah, I feel like we're all on board.
Very
interesting.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some more exploring the Raposo family dynamic and talk more about sisterly and sibling love. But first, someone recently asked how we handle post-election love discussions without busting the FCC filters. But since Love Bites is brought to you by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit member-supported station, we get to say whatever we want, which means we get to speak from the heart, ask weird and hard questions, and don't have to worry about who might be listening. And that's all because of the members and small businesses who support us. Right now, we're in our big end-of-year fundraiser. Your contributions support HRN's 34 weekly programs and also come with exclusive member benefits like best of playlists, swag, discounted events tickets, members only parties, and more. So if you love good radio without filters, throw a little dough our way by going to heritageradionetwork.org/donate, and we will love you forever. Happy holidays. We will be right back.
And this is another one from our former intern, Malcolm, untitled track here. We'll be right back.
Have you tasted the world's best cheese? Grand Cru Sirchois is the 2016 World Cheese Champion. Our partners at Roth, Wisconsin make this gorgeous alpine-style cheese in the rolling hills of Greene County, Wisconsin. Grand Cru Sirchois is produced by hand in Swiss copper vats and finished by aging on spruce planks. The quality milk and careful craftsmanship bring out the award-winning light floral notes, nutty undertones, a hint of fruitiness, and a mellow finish. Perfect with Riesling and Muscat, Grand Cru Sirchois is a guaranteed hit for any occasion. Check out their other offerings at rothcheese.com. You'll discover Buttermilk Blue and their newest release, Prairie Sunset, the golden-hued love child of Mimolet and Gouda. You'll also find recipes like the Raclette Reuben and tomato tartlets. Everything you need to know about the world's best cheese is at rothcheese.com.
And we are back. And before I make my sisters talk more about us, I'm going to ask Ben a question. Because,
oh, come on. I thought I was off the hook about revealing stuff about myself on this
I do want to extend it because we're talking about sibling love. And you have a sibling. You have
an older brother.
Yeah. And you guys are very close, too. And we have similar family situations as well with, you know, separated parents and sort of step-parents and siblings and the malleability of that and sort of things we've inherited from our parents that we've spoken about in the past. So do you and your brother have sort of loyalties or roles given to you by your parents as you've grown up? Like, even we touched upon when you were talking about the holidays that, you know, you were feeling responsibility for making sure your parents were, you know, okay as you went through them. Like, did you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that my parents or either of, you know, our parents purposely tried to give us defined roles or anything like that. I think my brother and I are very different, and I think that particularly my mom, who has been in a time of need lately, goes to my brother and I for different things. My mom very much sees my brother as someone who is more reliable and responsible when it comes to practical things, and very much sees me as an emotional support person.
And is that accurate to you?
I mean, I think, yeah, to some degree, yes. I think, like, my brother's not quite as, like, sensitive and empathetic as I am, and I am, like, certainly not as, like, on top of, you know, my brother's married with two kids and, like, very much has, like, his life on a path that, like, mine is just, like, I'm in a different path, right, and a different life, right, you know, and I'm like, no, I don't have, like, my 401k together and all that quite yet.
Hashtag anxiety.
Yeah. Yes. So like, we are just, like, different, right, in, like, what our priorities and what our, you know, like, the directions that we kind of, like, the strengths we have as sons to our mom.
Right.
And also, my mom also recently moved to being much closer to my brother now. She lives a couple miles.
So he just handles
him
a lot more of
and
the
so, like, he gets, like, there's a lot more of my mom in, right, my brother's life right now in a way that it's not quite for me. And, like, that also has, like, caused a little bit of, like, you know, I feel sometimes, like, shit, I'm not being there for my mom. My brother's, right, being a better son, or, you know, my brother is, like, there's more on my brother's shoulders and I'm not being, right, whatever. And I wonder about how my brother feels about that. I wonder how my mom feels about that and all that.
Yeah, because I feel like these discussions are hard. Like, I feel like our parents can put these titles and roles on top of us. And then sometimes they can feel correct and genuine. And sometimes they can conflict with how we feel about ourselves and see our position within our family. And they do change, yeah, as we grow into adulthood. And that can be a struggle.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Sometimes my mom will be like, oh, you don't like this thing. And, like, I like this thing. Right. I've liked this thing for, like, 12 years. Like,
she's telling you.
You remember what I was like when I was however old, you know?
Well, at least there's only two of you, and your mother remembers your name most of the time. Like, how she'd be calling, it was just Jack. It was
just Jack
Mag,
Daniels.
Just Mag Jack Daniels. That was how she would call
for
us.
Speaking of, you know,
four of us,
what our parents tell us about ourselves, let's turn the microscope back toward the Raposos here.
So the thing is, there's four of us in our family, and sisters, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we were sort of chosen sides. We were given sides between our mother and our father as children. Would you say I'm wrong in making that statement?
Not really.
Jessica, as children, how do you feel about that statement?
I could see how you two would feel that way. But Dad and I went through a pretty bad patch for a few years. And so I kind of think that in my case, it came later. It was actual. Like, okay. I went to Mom for everything during that time because I just couldn't have a conversation with Dad.
Gotcha.
And, I mean, we're fine now. Like, I can actually remember the point where it pivoted and all of a sudden things were great and Dad has had my back ever since.
Well, so I'm going to ask you guys, too, since we don't have too much time and I want to get a couple more questions in, I'm going to ask you guys a specific question. So, listeners, like, it sort of felt like in our family, my sisters were sort of closer and on Mom's team growing up, and my brother and I were closer on my dad's team growing up, and there was a period where it seemed like it was taking a little bit of work for my sisters to have healthy adult relationships with my father, and I still feel like I have a healthy adult relationship with my mother, but it still feels like it takes a little bit more. I mean, it takes effort with my father, too. I mean, like, it takes effort to have healthy adult relationships with your parents, I think, no matter who you are, and, you know, healthy adult relationships are hard across the board, but, how, for each of you, can you tell us a story about how you approached shifting the dynamic of your relationship with one of your parents as far as that sort of the favoritism or the team or whatever, you know, just whatever the hitch in the relationship was? So, Jessica, what did you and Dad do that sort of helped you start shifting that point where you could have a healthier, stronger relationship?
I think in my case, it actually had nothing to do with either of our parents. It had to do with me and just in the act of growing up and learning how to communicate and think through my thoughts and being able to express what was bothering me about something. I sucked at that as a teenager. You know, so I would be upset about something, but I would have no idea how to explain what I was upset about. And I think once I was able to start especially with our father, because...
Which is funny, because that is such a dad thing. Like, Dad has a hard time expressing what he's upset about.
And
so.
I think most teenagers do.
Well, sure, but in that particular case, like, fixing the relationship with Dad, like, it was tied in with me being able to say what I thought, and for, I think, him having a little bit more respect for me as a result of that. And then with Mom, you know, yes, I was closer with her when I was a kid, but transitioning into being an adult, she was confused about why things were changing, and she was upset by it, and I had to be able to explain things to her. And so, yeah, so that was what it was for me.
What about you, Max?
I think it was a lot of communication. I think it was really different for me than it may have been for the rest of you, because when I was becoming an adult and, like, coming into adulthood, that's around the same time that our parents split. So for me, the shift was starting to see my parents as individuals instead of a couple and looking at them like Dad is Dad and he's who he is and Mom is Mom and that's who she is. And I think a lot of, because of that, you know, I'm closer to Mom stigma that happened, that, you know, it made it harder for me to communicate with Dad as a kid. But when I was coming into adulthood and the separation was happening and I had that shift of perspective of my parents as people, it made it easier for me to see Dad and how he communicated and kind of try to figure out how to communicate with him on his level instead of trying to get him to communicate on my level, kind of thing.
Before we wrap, you guys both live far. Jess, you're in Indiana, and Maggie, you're in North Carolina, and our family's in Connecticut. So, Jess, from the eldest sibling perspective, what's the hardest thing about being so far from home? Because you've been, you know, like, you're right, I am still, like, the Susie home. I like living close to my parents, and a lot of my friends are in New York, and I like, you know, I like living in the Northeast where we're from. And you guys have done a lot more of the, I mean, Maggie's getting in a car after this and driving back to North Carolina. You guys are crazy. So, and Jessica, you've gone to three very far, far away schools. What's the hardest thing, you know, especially now, as we mentioned with, you know, having parents who are getting older, like, what's the hardest thing about it from an eldest sibling perspective?
Well, I mean, all the college time, it was always temporary in my mind. So that wasn't really a big deal. I mean, I missed some birthdays and a couple family events, but we also had a really great frequent flyer plan at that point, so I actually came home quite a bit. I didn't miss too many important things. Now the trick is, you know, because when I finished college, I was back in Connecticut for 6 years, and then I moved away. The trick for me now is just feeling unable to completely put down roots here, but then missing out on a lot of things back home. So missing out on the closeness in different ways. So, you know, I feel very much still rooted in Connecticut with my family, but, you know, and so it feels, I feel kind of transient here, even though I've been here over 3 years now. And little things like the idea that I won't ever use my Christmas decorations because I'll always be almost required to go back to Connecticut. You know, I brought up that whole, hey, could we do Christmas in Indiana 1 year? And everybody was like, no.
No way. Going to Indiana
right,
for Christmas.
Because nobody wants, yeah, but that means that, like, I never get to celebrate Christmas in my home.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Versus they're like, yeah, we don't care.
Danny's house in Connecticut and that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
You know. And so I don't feel like I'm able to put down roots here because my family isn't here. And I'm still working on figuring out the balance with that.
Gotcha. What about you from the baby of the family perspective, Maggie?
When I was younger, it was hard being left behind. I mean, you guys all went off to college and you left, and I seemed to get close to you as you were getting ready to leave. Like, I felt like we got really close when right before you left, and Jess and I were always close. And then Danny and I got really close right before he went to college. So when you guys left, I was like, wow, I'm like left behind. But I think that's why I visited you guys so much.
I know, but now you're gone.
And now I'm gone. So it's kind of opposite. It's like I miss seeing each other on a more day-to-day basis. Like, I remember when I was living at home, you know, we would see each other after work, or we'd see each other after I'd be done with school, and we'd have a drink and watch TV or play a board game or play Yahtzee. And it was just fun to, like, see each other on a day-to-day basis and be kind of more involved in each other's lives. And that's hard being away.
Jacqueline, I'm curious for you, is, like, is there a part that's, you know, you have siblings who are far away, you are close. Is there a part that's, like, difficult either about your siblings being far or about you being close?
No, I hate the fact that they're far away. I'm closest with my brother now because he sees me all the time. And especially with all the weird health shit that I go through, which is such a, like, day-to-day experience. Like, my brother knows the most because he sees me the most for good and bad. And, you know, we watch each other's dogs, and I house sit for him, and we know each other's schedules, and, like, we're just, and that's great for me and Dan. But it sucks for me and my sisters. Like, I miss that intimacy of just knowing so much about, especially as far as the leaning on each other part. Like, I feel this very weird connection with my family that I need them more than other people need their family. Like, I need my parents as much as, like, I do take on a lot of responsibility with our family business and getting shit done with our family. As far as that kind of stuff goes, I help my brother out and I help my father out. Like, and I do a lot of the domestic, you know, inheritance of that part as well. Like, I also need our parents more. When I get sick, my dad will come in and pick me up and drive me to Connecticut. My mother will drive me back. Dan comes and gets me. They bring me food and medicine. They drive me, like, and I need that. And I know my sisters would do that too. It's just that they can be disconnected from my day to day and my body, so that even when I feel really sick, takes a lot of explanation to call them to tell them why I feel sick, and I miss having them just around more.
Okay, I have one last question for Maggie and Jess that I did not prepare you for.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, boy.
When I had your brother Danny on the show, I asked him to give me a piece of dirt about Jacqueline that I could use to hold against her for the rest of eternity.
I played the
And
fifth.
He
you can say whatever
did
you
not give me anything.
I have no nope. There's
he gave
I have
me
no skeletons
nothing.
In my closet.
Nothing.
Well, I don't know.
Except
that's
for that
true.
Secret closet.
Have...
It's at that secret closet we have.
And
Maggie.
So I'm
ooh,
just looking
that secret closet we have in the big house.
Okay, yes. All right. Yeah. Listen, I'm just looking
it's
for
a good
one.
It's
it
a
doesn't
good
have to be, you know, like life altering, but just like a little embarrassing something that I can rub in Jacqueline's nose. Is either one of you willing, by the grace of God, to help me out here?
No, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you're looking for, Ben, but Jacqueline is perfect.
Oh, my God.
Well, perfect. I don't know.
Hey, Maggie, don't ruin it.
Yay.
This family is too squeaky clean. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And
perfect.
I don't know who I've got. We got to get. I've got to get your mom on the show.
Perfectly
I guess next. We've talked about bringing moms.
It's because we
the
have
show.
Not fed anybody alcohol. It's because I'm week four of no alcohol. If there was booze involved, my sisters would be.
We've talked about
clothes.
Getting our moms on the show,
we
and
have,
maybe
Mother's
she will be
Day.
The one. She'll be willing to
one
embarrass
glass
you.
Of wine, and my mother will be talking.
Well, ladies, I'm so thankful for you coming on the show. But I'm disappointed in you right now.
Thank you, sisters. You're the best. I adore you. I'll see you in a couple weeks for Christmas. I can't wait already.
Yay.
I love you Christmas. Both so much. I love you both so much.
I love you too.
I love you too.
Oh, I love you too. The love is in abundance here. And really, I thank you very much, both of you, for being so open and honest and a little bit vulnerable with us here on the radio today.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
So that is our show for today. Come back next week as we finish up our first ever series on family love. Head to lovebitesradio.com for details on who we've got lined up for you. I also just today updated all of the guests that we've had on in the past, so check that out as well. And then also a heads up that I was interviewed for the Bloomberg podcast, Material World, on the No Sugar Cleanse I'm doing as part of my year of abstinence, which you can check out at www.myyearofabstinence.com. That was intentional that time. Myyearofabstinence.com, which we've talked about on the show. Friday I'll be drinking, so next Monday in the studio I will be wasted. So check out Material World. That is produced by our former engineer with the mostest, Liz Smith, which I cannot wait to hear. So thanks as always to our engineer, David. Our theme song is Give Love by Josh Dion, and we are Jacqueline Raposo and Ben Rosenblatt. We will be back at the same time next week with proper haikus right here. So if anybody knows what the poem structure of a 757 is.
Or a 755.
Or a 755. Tag us, tweet us, Instagram us, just do something, okay? Let me know. And PSA, don't take Ambien and then try to write poetry.
Or do.
We'll be back right here at the same time next week at heritageradionetwork.org.
See ya.
Listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
How do I save the world? How do I save the world?